This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. During the height of the pandemic, tens of millions of workers in the U.S. lost their jobs and were not able to keep up with their rents. For the first time ever, the federal government provided $46 billion in rent relief and a temporary ban on evictions, first through the CARES Act and later through a moratorium issued by the CDC. A new Frontline documentary explores why so many families struggle to keep their homes during the pandemic, even though a federal eviction ban was in place. Well, now that the money is drying up or gone in many cases, and the eviction moratorium has expired, evictions are on the rise. Here is the trailer for Facing Eviction.
Stay at home. That is the order tonight as the coronavirus pandemic spreads.
With tens of millions of Americans out of work, there is growing concern that many could be evicted from their homes.
Since September, I have not paid my rent, so I'm looking at eviction. This apartment means a lot to me. It's our home.
She doesn't know we don't have a home because to her, I'm sorry, but to her, wherever I am is her home.
The clock is ticking for millions of Americans who've gotten behind on their rent payments during the pandemic.
Being a landlord, I lost 11 months rental income. I have to eat. I have to get my medicines.
I have to visit the moral obligation a lot more because the legal obligation is in black and white.
Most of the time, you don't know who's behind that closed door. So it's an unknown, and an unknown is going to be a threat.
Up to 40 million Americans are behind on rent and facing an uncertain future.
A housing crisis that could affect thousands of people.
That is a trailer for the new Frontline documentary, Facing Eviction, which you can watch online now. You can find a link at yourcallradio.org. Joining us is Bonnie Bertram, writer and producer of the new documentary, Facing Eviction. Bonnie Bertram is lead producer and Pulitzer Center grantee for Retro Report's five-part series, Hitting Home, which is about housing and evictions during the pandemic. Bonnie's short film on vaccine hesitancy, distributed in partnership with the New York Times, was nominated for a News and Documentary Emmy Award. Hi, Bonnie. Thank you so much for making this really important documentary, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for your interest in the film.
You know, I have to say, Bonnie, watching it, it made me realize that I forgot that what we faced during the pandemic was really a patchwork of laws. And it really did depend on where you lived. That determined what your situation would be. So it sounds like you've been really deep on this issue, especially with your five-part series, Hitting Home. Can you talk about what you were looking to really accomplish, what questions you really wanted to answer in this Frontline documentary, Facing Eviction?
So it's so interesting because Retro Report, our mission is to really look back at historical precedents to sort of lead us to where we got to today. And so when housing became such a critical part of staying safe during COVID, we went back to look for historic precedents and we couldn't find any. Mm-hmm. So we started to realize that this was a really important moment to document. And it was such a luxury for me as a journalist to be able to stay on a story and watch it unfurl month after month, because we did quickly realize that housing was going to be critical to the government's COVID-19 strategy of keeping people safe. And it is so easy to forget, but like, you know, we all lived in these very shrunken worlds of four walls. But so, you know, President Trump almost immediately issued the CARES Act. And a big component of that was this moratorium. Like basically he said, freeze, nobody move. We've got this eviction moratorium, which we all had to struggle to understand what the heck that meant. But the problem was it sounded like a great solution, but as it played out over time, it so much depended on not just like what state or what county or what city you lived in, but like who your sheriff was and what judge you got randomly assigned at housing court, because there were varying degrees of people willing to enforce this and willing to sort of let things slide to give people, tenants, more time to try to work things out.
You also do an amazing job of looking at how difficult it was to really navigate the system. Do you have Zoom on your phone? Did you get the link? do you understand legal speak, depending on how the judge and the lawyers speak? Are you, do you have access to the right paperwork? I mean, so much was involved in this.
Right. And again, it's easy to forget, but like we were all worried so much about getting this illness and dying. So imagine on top of that, you've lost your job. Now you're at risk of losing your house, which, you know, then the CDC went on to say that's where you need to be to stay safe. And in the case of the woman who we very generously, she allowed us to follow her in Newark, you know, she was scrambling to make ends meet. So she was working overnight shifts, and then she would get double shifts whenever she could. So she was exhausted. So on top of all of this precariousness of COVID-19, of, you know, losing income, now you're facing housing insecurity, and you've got to try to deal with a judge and paperwork and a landlord who's threatening you. So, you know, it was a lot.
And we'll talk about June Robinson's case in a minute, but just for a little context, Emily Benfer with Eviction Lab said it's important to note that we have never had rental assistance before in this country. So states were just ill-equipped to disperse the money to the communities.
Right. So $46.5 billion is what Congress had earmarked starting in December 2020. And that was what landlords and tenants said they needed to be whole again. And that is a huge amount of money. So it just took months and months for that money to work through the distribution channels. And what most states did was they kind of used, again, a patchwork of charitable organizations. Like California used, a lot of the money came through United Way. Texas, a lot of it came through the Salvation Army and some private organizations as well. But it took months for that money to reach the people who needed it.
Also, depending on where you lived, like you said, it's the zip code, but also when you look at states, and we can talk more about this in a bit, California had the longest running eviction ban, and yet we still saw a lot of evictions. And then you have a place like Texas. In February 2021, Texas said the CDC overstepped its authority. The Texas Supreme Court allowed evictions to continue. And so if you lived in Texas, you really didn't have protections, even though we meet a lawyer in your film who put together a network of lawyers who were really trying to help people.
Right. So we met this woman, Alexis Hatcher, who's a single mom. And like everybody, right, you hear there's a federal CDC moratorium, you're like, okay, phew, I did the paperwork, I'm covered. But then the Texas Supreme Court, they went through 12 iterations of this emergency order, which was basically the instrument by which the courts could enforce the in that case, it was the CDC moratorium. And they didn't extend the 12th one. So what happens in Texas is when the Supreme Court makes a decision like that, there's this governing body that like advises judges on how to act, on how to interpret what happened at the Supreme Court. So this advisory body says to judges basically, hey, you can break the federal law if you want to. You have discretion as to how you want to apply the CDC eviction ban. And Mark Melton, who's this amazing attorney in Dallas, who was a tax attorney, who just cobbled together this dozens of lawyers who were working as volunteers to help people decipher this information. I mean, he couldn't believe how crazy it was. You know, he said, how does a judicial body basically tell judges you can ignore a federal law? Order. Which I guess there's the confusion.
Exactly. I mean, and to talk about more about Alexis Hatcher, one of the three women profiled in your film, she lives in Arlington. She's a single mom of a 5-year-old daughter. She was a manager of a shoe store, which closed during the pandemic. So many people can relate to that. She fell short on her rent, and then she moved in with her mom, but only for one night because she was so worried about COVID. And she applied for the money, but it didn't come through before she was evicted. And this is such a common story across the country.
Right. So she came home and she had a 24-hour notice to vacate, which California gives you more time. Texas is one of the most brutal. Mm-hmm. And so she had to get all of her stuff like quickly out of her apartment. And then once she was able to get money through the Salvation Army to help her land her next place, they helped her with a security deposit and they helped her get settled. But it took weeks. I mean, you know, that stuff doesn't happen quickly.
Well, and in the case of Alexis, her case manager at the Salvation Army said, Alexis is a very unique person because she is just on it. She has all the documentation. She is on it. And a lot of people don't have the documentation. You know, maybe they work a couple jobs. Maybe they don't have a lease. That's pretty common, actually. So she said Alexis was really lucky to actually find other housing. And so many people were not as lucky.
Right. I mean, Mark Melton. So we tried really hard in our story to show a variety of situations and a variety of outcomes. Mm-hmm. And Mark Melton wanted us to make sure to convey to people that Alexis Hatcher is really a best case scenario and that he had plenty of clients who were families living out of their cars and how that was a much more typical outcome. Alexis had an uncle who immediately came to help her when she needed to move and relatives who she could stay with after the eviction. So she had a support system, but more often than not, you know, getting evicted sort of catapults you into this world of chaos and housing insecurity that's very hard to recover from.
You know, I have to say I was thinking about what's going on in Texas for many, many reasons, thinking about you know, the 6-week abortion ban and all of the rhetoric we hear about how these politicians care so much about life. And then you learn that in Texas, so many moms, single moms, lost their homes and what that effect has on their children. And in the case of Alexis, I mean, you know, just to watch her sweet daughter jumping around, not really knowing what was going on. I mean, she's only 5. She's dancing while her mom is trying to figure things out. And Alexis actually told her daughter, our house is just broken. We need to find another house. And that's the way she communicated the situation to her daughter. We just have a broken house.
Isn't it amazing that she had the wherewithal to not only have the instinct to protect her daughter from that miserable situation, but to concoct something that would make sense to her 5-year-old daughter in a way that didn't cast any extra stigma to what they were going through. I mean, Alexis is heroic, you know, I think in a lot of ways. I do want to point out that Texas also in the column of being a little bit more progressive, they did enact the first, they were the first state in the nation to enact this mandatory eviction diversion program that ordered judges to encourage landlords and tenants to work together in this program. And the upside of the program was that it sort of put everything on a 60-day hold so that it gave the landlords time to get their money to have it work through the system. And it gave the tenants and, you know, a couple more months to stay put. So, and this eviction diversion program is something that now is being looked at as a possibility for every state in the country to adopt going forward in terms of new housing policy that comes out of the pandemic.
Today, we're joined by Bonnie Bertram, writer and producer of the new Frontline documentary, Facing Eviction, which you can watch online now. The documentary explores why so many families struggle to keep their homes during the pandemic, even though a federal eviction plan was in place. Now that the money is drying up or gone in many cases and the moratorium has expired, evictions are on the rise. In the film, Bonnie, we meet, you mentioned June Robinson, the Newark tenant with an 11-year-old daughter. She stopped working at HelloFresh because someone on her line had COVID. Again, every case is so different, but her landlord said that her name was not on the lease. Her lawyer said it's possible the landlord used that excuse to get around protections. Again, June Robinson has an 11-year-old daughter. You also focus on Teresa Trabuco, a Riverside County tenant who has a son. And, you know, she says this is not just our apartment, this is our home. And she also had a tough time getting assistance. You know, what really struck you, just the fact that these moms trusted you and your team to sit down with them and to tell their stories. That alone is pretty incredible. It's one thing to read about people's stories, but to see their everyday lives is a completely different experience.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out, because these women were so generous and courageous, because again, it's so easy to forget, but I mean, inviting a stranger into your home who you've never met, because I couldn't travel. So I had just reached out and identified and found reporters who understood what we were trying to capture, who were photographers. So to get a knock on your door, let the stranger into your home, and to share with you, share like their most miserable moment. It was such a big ask on our part. And these people, these women and the other people too, we also talked to judges and constables and lawyers. I think that everybody recognized the extraordinary quality of this moment when housing was so important and such on the fore of the national conversation in a way that it hadn't been before. And like Alexis says at the end of the film, she says, you know, as terrible as this was, I'm kind of glad that it happened during this time, because people have a little bit more sympathy and they're willing to look at evictions in a different way, because in quote unquote normal times, they would just be like, well, whatever happened to her, she couldn't get her act together and she got kicked out.
Exactly. And as you say, so many intimate moments of moms crying of, oh my gosh, June Robinson, I don't want to give too much away, but the scene in her car as she's taking part in her Zoom court case and having no idea what the heck is going on. I mean, I was wondering too. I thought, wait a minute, what did that mean? They just ended the call. What yeah. did this lawyer, I don't understand this legal speak. Just
and
have a good day
like,
and be
well,
safe.
Yeah. And the judge is like, well, stay safe and good luck. I was like, oh, are you kidding me?
That was a gut punch.
Yeah, it was a gut punch. So we filmed for more than 80 days. And we happened to capture some extraordinary moments with June. I mean, she works this overnight shift, so she would just fall asleep. Like, she would fall asleep mid-sentence when we were talking to her. And we felt so bad about it. But she felt like it was the right thing for us to sort of be there to show what she was going through. And she was taking a nap, and our cameras just happened to catch her when the constables knocked on the door to evict her. So imagine, like, you're taking a nap. I mean, you know, the aggressive bang on the door, and the camera crew's there, and you can see the sheriff in Newark, sort of his eyes kind of widen when he sees this camera person standing behind June. But, you know, they have a job to do. So camera crew or not, you know, these things, they say our hands are tied. It's up to a judge to decide. And when the judge makes a decision, that's sort of it.
Wow. Well, huge thanks to your reporters and your camera crew, because it really, they did incredible work.
Oh, you know, thank just you.
Talking to you about this, Bonnie, it just makes us think that, you know, it's so important to point out that so many women are single moms in this country, and they're heading their household. The 2021 current population survey says that about 10.5 million one-parent households are in this country. And so we just did a show about inflation and talked about how millions and millions of people in this country are still making minimum wage and are really struggling to make ends meet. And these are the women that we meet in your film.
Yeah. We've talked to a lot of policymakers in the process of making this film, and the policy is so important, but I really felt like too often what was missing was people feeling like they saw what the lived experiences were like for the people who were on the receiving end of this policy. And we've gotten a lot of really nice feedback from people who, you know, work in the housing sector and are housing experts, who feel like this will really help inform policy discussions, because it's one thing to talk about, you know, rules and regulations, but when you see, like, for example, Zoom court. I mean, Zoom court has made a lot of tenants facing eviction. It's made it easier for them. But then when you see somebody like June struggle to just even, you know, figure out what, she'd never been on Zoom before, you realize it's not really a one size fits all solution.
And also, we are just seeing headlines right now about what really did happen under the pandemic. NBC News, 4 corporate landlords engaged in 15,000 evictions despite the CDC moratorium. The Dallas Tribune, Dallas landlord made record profits while evading eviction moratoriums. Mm-hmm. So just quickly before we end, based on what you just said about policy, Bonnie, this is not going away anytime soon, this eviction crisis in this country.
No. And in fact, the Dallas Constable's Office, who we talked to for the film, told us last week that the number of evictions just in the first half of this year is more than where they were in all of last year. So, you know, and we've all, we like with inflation and rents going up, it's definitely not going away. And corporate landlords tend to be a lot less flexible, as we found out in our reporting, than the small time mom and pop. So I think that the stakes are higher. And that subcommittee found that Las Vegas based landlord, they were doing pretty aggressive things to get rid of tenants, like removing air conditioners in Las Vegas, which would make, you know, living in an apartment like untenable. It would just be too hot. Calling, you know, Children Protective Services to encourage tenants to leave. So, you know, we have an affordable housing crisis in this country, and the pandemic highlighted that. And what we do going forward, I think the policies that the government tried showed that there are things that we can do to help stem the onslaught of evictions. So now it is a policy choice going forward. You know, how are we going to deal with this? Because we know there are certain things we could do to protect tenants who, you know, need help but are trying to make rent, and they're not bad people.
Well, Bonnie, again, huge thanks to you and your team for this documentary. You know, the power of seeing these people and really being on this journey with them is really incredible. Just quickly, what is your next project? Are you going to stay on this beat?
Well, the White House has a summit next week that we will, we've been invited into. So yeah, I'm really curious to see, you know, what will be done coming out of this, because, you know, for the first time in decades, I think people are trying to address these problems. And, you know, I hope things don't get shoved under the rug, because it is a tremendous problem, the lack of affordable housing.
Bonnie Bertram is writer and producer of the new Frontline documentary, Facing Eviction, which you can watch online now. It's just under an hour, so I hope you can find some time over the weekend to watch this. Bonnie Bertram is also lead producer and Pulitzer Center grantee for Retro Report's 5-part series, Hitting Home, which is about housing and evictions during the pandemic. Bonnie, again, thanks for your great work, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. And let me just put in one plug. If you want to watch it online, it's on pbs.org/frontline. And it's Retro Report's Facing Eviction.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you can find a link at yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show and always finding these incredible stories and documentaries. And we want to give a huge thanks to Kevin Vance, our engineer. Kevin has worked tirelessly during the pandemic. Unlike our team, Kevin had no choice but to go to the studio every single day during the pandemic. And Kevin is finally taking time off, a month off, to rest and sleep in past 4 a.m. Enjoy your well-deserved vacation, Kevin, and thank you for all of your great work. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.